Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Time flies when you're having fun. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, second hour. This is the broadcast for August the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. All right. Candace Owens, we were talking about her last hour. Fox News has an article that says, Candace Owens, Democrats want black people to fail. Candace Owens, don't fall for the scam of feminism. She is tearing it up, man. Now, the liberals are saying Candace Owens is pathetically stupid. They just don't know how to deal with her, is the problem. Anyway, pretty interesting. Candace Owens Wikipedia. Do you know much about Candace Owens? I'm quite impressed with her. And I think that, she's an interesting person. She was born April 29th, 1989, 30 years old, Stamford, Connecticut, U.S. She lives in New York City now, Kurt. University of Rhode Island's her alma mater. Her occupation, they say, is public speaker slash author or blogger. Employer, Prager University. And, anyway, she's a very interesting person that I think is doing a great job in getting the word out there, Kurt. But, man, the liberals are just going nuts over Candace. I mean, they are attacking. Now, she's an American conservative, Kurt. Sounds like me, huh? She's a commentator and political activist. She is known for her pro-Trump activism and her criticism of Black Lives Matter and the Democratic Party in general. She worked for the conservative advocacy group Turning Point USA between 2017 and 2019. And anyway, I think she's a pretty interesting girl. And I commend her for the work that she's doing. She's involved in what they call the Blexit movement, which is the Black Exit movement. And there you have it. She's well known for race relations, women's rights, climate change discussions, gun rights. I mean, she takes on everything, buddy. They even have a list of controversies with her, Kurt. Any other tidbit on her?
Got, well, Kanye West, I guess he tweeted, I love the way Candace Owens thinks. I guess the tweet was met with derision.
Of course it was. But me and, fans. Kanye agree, Kurt.
Yep. I guess in May of 2018, President Trump stated that Owens is having a big impact on politics in our country. She represents an ever-expanding group of very smart thinkers, and it's wonderful to watch and hear the dialogue going on. So good for our country. And get this part that Wikipedia says. It says, Owens has appeared on fringe conspiracy websites, such as InfoWars. And of course, that's not biased. If you're Google and you're Wikipedia, you're not biased there. It says, in 2018, she was a guest host on Fox News. After finding mainstream success, Owens distanced herself from the far-right conspiracy websites, although she refused to criticize InfoWars or its hosts.
Now, what's also interesting is she was bullied as a teenager, Kurt, and sued and got a $37,000 lawsuit. And she launched socialautopsy.com in 2016, a website she said would expose bullies on the internet by exposing their digital footprint. And I guess she was raised by her grandparents after her parents divorced. Mm-hmm. And she used crowdfunding on Kickstarter. So she's a pretty unique person. she had become known in conservative circles by 2017 with her pro-Trump commentary and her criticizing liberal rhetoric regarding structural racism, systemic inequality, and identity politics.
I guess he's characterized the president as the savior of Western civilization.
Yeah.
She's argued that Trump is neither engaged in rhetoric that is harmful to African Americans, nor proposed policies that would harm African Americans.
Now, in October 2018, Candace Owens launched the Blexit movement that the campaign encouraged to encourage Black Americans or African Americans to abandon the Democratic Party and register as Republicans, Kurt. The term Blexit, that's kind of a black and exit ideas, you know, compared to the Brexit idea of the United Kingdoms. Anyway, I guess Kanye West says he first off created some paraphernalia to promote the agenda, but then backed away and said, I never want any association with it. But, you know, the Daily Beast found after the launch that 16% of the total tweets, using the Blexit hashtag were from Twitter accounts associated with, they say, Russian disinformation. So here's how they try to shut down Candace now. She puts together this Blexit idea. Great, great insight by Candace saying, let's jettison this black and white America and stand for America and focus on principles and character and things. Now they tie that to the Russians, too, to shut her down, Kurt. She's got some great political views, though. They say she had no interest in politics before 2015. And she had liberal views before, but now describes herself as a Trump supporter. In her defense, Kurt, yeah. The reason I bring this up is because a lot of people come from that. When they're young, they're liberal or whatever, especially where they grow up. But now she's kind of come to her own, and she's an adult, and she just says, hey, this is the way I feel. Like I say, she's criticized Black Lives Matter. She complained they're a bunch of whiny toddlers over there.
Yeah, I guess the Guardian described her as ultra-conservative. New York Magazine and Columbia Journalism Review have described her as right-wing. The Daily Beast has called her views far-right. Pacific Standard called her a member of the alt-right. Though she has rejected both terms, she was
influenced. And by the way, so have I, Kurt.
Yeah,
but they still call me the same thing they call Candace.
Right. By the works of Ann Coulter, Milo Yiannopoulos, Ben Carson, and Thomas Sowell, it says.
Now, here's the interesting thing on the abortion discussion. She has called abortion a tool for the extermination of black babies. And I think she's right about that, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
She's critical of feminism. She described the Me Too movement and the international movement against sexual harassment and assault as stupid, said that she hated it. The idea is that, you know, hey, when you're a feminist, it suggests that women are stupid, weak, and inconsequential. On climate change, she was asked about global warming. She said, quote, I don't believe that it's real. She thinks climate change is a way to extract dollars from Americans.
Yeah,
gay and lesbian rights. So. She supports same-sex marriage. Shame on Candace.
On Facebook, she wrote, I proudly self-identify as an Uncle Tom.
Yeah, see, that's where they just mock her and label her, though.
Yeah.
She's a registered NRA member. And she said, believe it or not, the NRA in the beginning was founded on civil rights, training black Americans to arm themselves. Anyway, to the contrary, they say the NRA was founded by the Civil War veterans to improve soldiers' marksmanship. Anyway, there's a lot of controversies about her, though.
Right? On welfare, it says she opposes welfare, although she says that she has family on it. Yeah.
Now, here's what's interesting. So on the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, in April 2018, I guess the Connecticut NAACP president, the guy's name is Scott, I don't know, Esdale, I guess. Anyway, he defended Owens when she was the victim of a hate crime in 2007 and helped her receive her $37,000 settlement. She was interviewed, or I guess he was shocked learning that Owens had become conservative. Said, "We're very sad and disappointed in her. It seems like she's trying to appeal to a different type of demographic." Now, according to the, quote, Atlanta Black Star, Owens claims to hate the NAACP. The NAACP is one of the worst groups for black people. All they do is jump on a platform, and they never talk about real issues that are facing the black community. It's all PR for them. So I'm sure if they're involved, it's got to be absolute BS. Kurt, I hate to say this, but the battle lines are being drawn, in many cases, between truth and error, between right and wrong. And a Candace is a bold advocate for what's right, and I commend her. Look, Ben Carson could have been a liberal. Ben Carson could have complained that he was just, you know, shoved down by the white man, grown up with hate in the hood. But Ben rose above it. Kanye West has risen above it. Now Candace Owens rises above it. And I commend them, and I'm excited for them. And I pray for the day when Americans can stand shoulder to shoulder and stand up for God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property without these vitriol attacks. Anyway, enough of that. We'll go to the fire marshal. But I wanted to highlight that because it's interesting to learn about some of these people in the media and how they get treated. She was a rock star when she was liberal and Democrat, and now they hate her because she rejects the narrative.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. People are getting sick of the fact checkers in the mainstream press because people are believing that they're not really doing a good job, Kurt. And so people are starting to do fact checking of their own. And I say that's what we need, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam, and what you've got here in this story, you remember it's not been long that the president was at a New Hampshire rally, and I guess some claimed that his, or, you know, opposed his claim that he basically broke the attendance records there that had been set by Elton John at that venue. where he proclaimed that he filled the 11,700-seat arena, left thousands more supporters outside. Anyway, the critics circulated some screenshots of empty seats behind the president and sent the hashtag #EmptySeatsMAGATour trending on Twitter. I guess the hashtag was picked up by mainstream media outlets like The Hill, which reported the trend but did not bother to check the actual attendance or compare the claims of Trump critics with reports from eyewitnesses. Now, the Daily Mail did some, you know, detail there. They confirmed with Manchester Deputy Fire Marshal Mitchell Caddy that attendance in the arena was about 11,500, with 8,000 people standing outside. Elton John had drawn 11,300. You know, and this reporter that wrote this piece says they covered the rally in person. And by the way, this reporter is Joel B. Pollack. He's a senior editor at large at Breitbart News. Anyway, and they covered the rally in person, in addition to vendors setting up shop more than 17 miles away from the rally. There were many Trump supporters who camped out overnight to ensure they could enter the arena. Now, one of the main reasons I wanted to go into detail in this story, Sam, is the media has been telling us that, hey, Trump's neck and neck, the president's neck and neck with these different Democrats and, you know, this kind of stuff. And yet you hear these reports of the Democrats maybe getting 100 people to show up at some event or whatever, and yet you see this and you go, you know, is this deja vu all over again, where, you know, they told us in the last election that, hey, you know, there's just no way for him to get the right number of electoral votes. Hillary had it easy, and they were wrong. And I think you're seeing deja vu all over again. The article continues and says there were many Trump supporters who camped out overnight to ensure they could enter the arena. You find that in a Joe Biden thing or a Pocahontas deal, I think it's going to be impossible to find. It says traffic to the venue was nearly impassable in places, and parking was almost impossible. The arena filled up hours before the speech began. The Secret Service sealed the doors, preventing further entry. Thousands more gathered outside the arena to watch the speech on a giant screen. One Trump supporter, Juliet Gardella, posted an account on Facebook of her experience at the rally, confirming that she and many others had camped out overnight. There were few empty seats in the far upper deck, where visibility was poor and partially obstructed by a large American flag.
So let me get this right. You fill the arena. Yeah. You got 8,000 people out there, not even able to get
outside.
In.
Outside. Yeah.
You've literally got people camping overnight to attend this thing. It's an absolute rock star event by the president. And then basically the mainstream press literally takes this little intentionally manipulated photo. And then tweets it, and then everybody else just jumps aboard, and they try to make it go viral. They get caught with their fake news dishonesty.
That's accurate, Sam.
What do you say to that, Kurt? I mean, how? Well, I when are Americans going to wake up, though, and start to jettison these media people, Kurt?
Yeah, I think it's happening.
It is. I think so,
you're
too.
You're seeing that on a
regular basis. I wish it were faster.
Yeah, that's right. They say the idea that Trump had failed to fill the arena was never true, but was circulated by Trump's opponents and by the mainstream media in a classic example of fake news.
Now, here's what I also find interesting. In contrast, when Joe Biden or Barack Obama or the Clintons or, what's that other guy's name? Tim Kaine, when he was running against President Trump on the campaign trail and all these kind of things. A lot of these people, when they have empty arenas, the mainstream press doesn't really report on it and try to make it go viral like they just did for President Trump. In President Trump's case, it was a flat out lie. In these other cases, it's true, Kurt, like the tickets to go see Bill and Hillary Clinton. I mean, it was like they were trying to give them away. They eventually had to just cancel the whole tour, even it was going so miserably. And the mainstream press didn't highlight any of the other side of the reality there, Kurt.
It's so true, Sam, and it's so important. Now, this guy, Joel B. Pollack, who, you know, gives us this report, who's this senior editor at large there at Breitbart News, he's a winner of the 2018 Robert Novak Journalism Alumni Fellowship. He's also the co-author of How Trump Won, The Inside Story of a Revolution. So, you know, this guy's, you know, he's been
he's doing a good job, and he's highlighting it and stuff like that, but the mainstream press doesn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. But I'm telling you that right now, the fire marshal fact checks fake news about Trump New Hampshire rally attendance. He literally proved them as lying, and Breitbart's the only one to carry the story that I know. We carry it, maybe WND and a few others, but for the most part, it's a blackout story, even when the truth is discovered, Kurt. So it's one thing, it's wrong that they dishonestly perpetuate this lie. But then when the truth comes out, they got a blackout, don't they, Kurt?
Well, yeah.
I got a question.
I mean, you like, even you look at Drudge, you look at a number of these other places, there's not a bigger news story when President Trump's got an event than that event. And yet they seem to find everything else they can cover. That would be big news if the tables were turned and it was Biden or somebody else that was having those kind of results.
All right, I got a question, Kurt.
When the president does it, la la la, they don't even want to talk about it.
Hey, Kurt, do blackout stories matter?
Blackout stories, like Black Lives.
Yeah, but aren't they blacking out these stories?
Well, I think that's what you call, you know, bias or censorship in the media. And it's,
but do these stories matter?
Back to the same old, I think it they do.
You know, does it matter that Donald Trump filled the arena and the mainstream press lied about it? I think it does matter.
It's the truth.
Does it matter that the Steve Stockman story was completely shut down and every story on the in Google right now acts like he's just a convicted felon, 23 counts, in jail for 10 years? Never mind the fact that he's got an appeal going on right now. He's got a compelling appeal showing his innocence before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's right now, Kurt. Even the Washington Times admits it and highlights it. The Daily Caller highlights it. And does it matter that Elizabeth Warren and Rachel Dolezal are being treated completely different? Does it matter that Candace Owens, a very well-known Black American woman, believes in Blexit and wants millions of Black Americans to stand up as Americans? And does it matter that her show, after three episodes, the Candace Owens Show, a Black woman, was the number one educational podcast on iTunes? I bet if she was a Black woman that changed to be a white male that wanted transgender and whatever and abortion and she was promoting all the liberal leftist ideals, I bet they'd treat her as a rock star. Could it be top news billing, buddy? Do these three key stories, the Stockman story, the Candace Owens story, and then this Trump story, do these blackout stories matter? I'm just wondering if blackout stories matter, because it's interesting to me how this happens. And Americans should start to gain enough knowledge about it to say, hey, even when they report a story, they report it in a very manipulated way. But what about the stories they refuse to even report on? Or if they do, it's so dishonest that you can't even get the real story. All right, there's a massive turnout at March in latest Hong Kong protest. Kurt, they had won a bunch of rain, didn't they?
I don't know for sure about the rain. I just know that this is something that the media doesn't really want to cover, because, Sam, you've got people that are trying to have freedom and they're going against the communist Chinese in a big way.
Yeah. All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about it. Sam and Kurt, Hong Kong protests. Hong Kong's an interesting historical reality, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Sam and Kurt in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Well, the president takes the long view on all of this. That's Counselor to the President Kellyanne Conway, who says President Trump will make a deal with China when the time is right.
He takes the long view, wants a better deal. He inherited a very imbalanced, non-reciprocal, unfair trade deficit with China.
Conway telling Fox News the White House committed to keeping up tariffs on Chinese imports until a trade deal is done.
He doesn't want to do a deal if it's a bad deal. Too many presidents in the past have done that. And of course, it's nice to have the mainstream media finally covering the economy.
In other news, the white New York City police officer involved in the 2014 death of a black man, Eric Garner, fired. The video going viral back in the day, and now 5 years later, the New York City Police Commissioner with the announcement the officer is out. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges. Charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
The Trump administration talking about tariffs again. USA Radio's Tim Berg with comments from the U.S. Commerce Secretary.
As a new round of tariffs are set to take effect September 1st on Chinese goods, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is defending the Trump administration's tariff policy, saying U.S. consumers are doing okay.
Import prices, in fact, have been down from a year ago. And as you know, there's very little inflation in the consumer economy. So thus far, there has not been any real basis for saying the tariffs have hurt the consumer.
Ross was speaking there on Fox Business, and he also says that United States interest rates are high relative to other countries. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
On Wall Street, the market gaining ground, the Dow up almost 250 points to close at 26,135. The NASDAQ up 107 points. The S&P 500 up 35 points. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk. We're talking about this interesting protest in Hong Kong. Very weird stories, folks. The mainstream press doesn't want to talk a lot about this stuff. So what'd they do, Kurt? They just told you that it was rain, there was a lot of people there, and ignored the rest of the story?
Well, if you dig, you can find stuff about this, Sam. But, the thing is, you've got people in Hong Kong who basically they've been under for many years British rule, as I understand it, and then the Brits I don't know if you call it made a deal or whatever with Communist China to turn it over to them. And I don't know, you know, the whole story, but that's the way I understand it. And now there's been kind of a, you know, phase in time, just like with the Federal Reserve. When we got the Federal Reserve Act done in 1913, it wasn't like all of a sudden you got rid of all the gold certificates and silver certificates and we went to Federal Reserve notes overnight. It was, you know, a long period, and they've been doing that as well there with Hong Kong. And now these people are seeing that they're worried that basically Communist China would take over Hong Kong and run it like they've done in Communist China. And there's a lot of people that don't want that to happen. The CNBC piece I'm looking at says that Hong Kong has for weeks been roiled by massive protests that have resulted in tense clashes with police.
Now, currently say protests. Hong Kong protest, 1.7 million protesters for the 11th straight weekend in a row.
That's a bunch of people, Sam. You know, I mean, 1.7 million filling up the streets. And like you say, with some, I guess, at least some of it was during rain. And so you see the pictures with, you know, basically just everybody with their umbrella. They say the protests stemmed from opposition to an extradition bill that critics say would have given Beijing undue control over Hong Kong. But after the bill was suspended, the scope of the protest movement expanded to encompass issues of civil rights and democracy. You know, don't kid yourself. It's about freedom, and that's what the real word should be. It says when Britain handed over Hong Kong to China in 1997, so it's been going on 20-something years, you know, a gradual changeover, Beijing promised that Hong Kong's economic and political systems would not be changed for 50 years. Whoops. You know, it's about, what, 22 now? 50 and 22, that's a little different. It says, over the weekend, President Trump said that a trade deal would be very hard to do if they do violence. If it's another Tiananmen Square, I think it's a very hard thing to do if there's violence. Yeah, so, you know, it's impressive to see what's going on. And, you know, people want freedom, Sam. They kind of love this stuff.
Now, this is interesting, Kurt. A lot of the places are reporting that they're peaceful demonstrations, Kurt. But demonstrators have confronted police, have been targeted by, quote, wielding men in white. Some have been accused of collaborating with the government, and I guess it's violent. So now why they say, why are protesters targeting the airport? Many activists have come to view Hong Kong's international airport as somewhat of a safe protest space away from the streets where clashes between demonstrators and cops have become commonplace. So you got an airport shutdown going on. But now cops have made their appearance at the airport since protests began 5 days ago. And the battle's on. Now, the question becomes, what's all this battle about, Kurt?
It's about freedom, Sam.
Yeah, part of it's about Brexit. Part of it's about being transferred from what British rule to China rule. Part of it's about the China crackdown. What does it mean for Hong Kong's economy? They say, listen to this, while mainland China is Hong Kong's most important trading partner, they say the economy is showing signs of hurting because of the protests. Is it safe to visit Hong Kong? They say serious consequences from the disruption are already happening to companies, including lost revenue, disrupted supply chain, and shelved investments. So, you know, what's the government saying about it? Officials in both, quote, Hong Kong and Beijing are increasingly critical of the protests. What are the other countries saying? U.S. President Donald Trump called for calm on Twitter. Bottom line is the Chinese are moving troops to the border. China already maintains troop presence near the Hong Kong border. Trump hopes nobody gets killed. You know, there you go. But I look at this whole thing, and you got to kind of understand what's the history a little bit, Kurt. They say Hong Kong belongs to China, but it has its own currency, political system, and cultural identity. Many Hong Kong residents don't see themselves as Chinese, but rather Hong Kongers. That difference goes back generations. Taiwan's in the same scenario, Kurt. They say Hong Kong's legal system still mirrors the British model, prizing transparency and due process, a policy dubbed One Company, Two Systems, enshrines this uniqueness. Anyway, what are the protesters' demands, you ask? Hong Kong's, quote, summer of protest has seen all kinds of what they call massive peaceful marches, widespread strikes, and small clashes of vandalism and violence have happened. They say, they got violent outbreaks at Hong Kong Airport. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. They want full democracy in their country, Kurt. Little do they know, democracy doesn't provide any freedom. I guess allegations of police brutality as well after a female protester was injured in the eye during clashes with cops who were trying to disperse crowds. So they have, quote, war eye patch now. Anyway, there you go. It's a very complicated topic, Kurt. But in my opinion, the real facts of this aren't being discussed. And the real facts are, does Hong Kong have freedom? Or are they merely a province of the communist nation known as China? And the same question relates to Taiwan. This is where, you know, China seems to have the mentality that Britain had of old. Everything is Britain's, or everything is China now, right? I mean, isn't that what the real battles is about, Kurt?
I think so, Sam.
All right. Any other tidbits on this one?
I don't see anything else to cover on here.
All right. Anyway, I don't know what's going to happen to Taiwan, but eventually we're going to have both Taiwan and Hong Kong in the middle of this thing, probably. As China continues to flex its muscle, you can expect retaliation is all I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All right. Most New York manufacturers report slight or, quote, no tariff price pressures, Kurt.
Well, and this is not a story you're going to see much about because this, once again, kind of makes the president look good. It's a Breitbart piece, but, you know, the bottom line is on this, you know, tariffs. Tariffs are constitutional way that the federal government used to bring in money. Now they do it in a whole lot of other ways as well, but you know, it's cool to see that these reports, these New York manufacturers, I kind of thought that was an endangered species, Sam, but apparently there are still some New York manufacturers. And in this Breitbart piece, they say, you know, they don't, I mean,
they say it's not as bad as the mainstream press wants you to believe.
Right.
Imagine that. They probably won't get any press coverage.
I don't think so. They say this was a supplemental question to the Empire State Manufacturing and Business Leaders Survey. They say 7.3% of the manufacturers there in New York said that tariffs were having a significant upward effect on their selling prices. 7.3% is a pretty small amount. Nearly half the manufacturers, 47.9%, said tariffs had no effect on selling prices. Another 10% said there was a significant or slight downward effect. They say the results appear to confirm that the main effect of tariffs in the U.S. has been to squeeze corporate margins rather than to tax U.S. consumers. In the survey, they say 44.9% of manufacturers said there was a slight downward effect on their bottom lines, while 6.5% said there was a significant downward effect.
Right, and they're trying to push that this is going to cause a recession, really, but Larry Kudlow, by the way, that's Trump's economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, says there's no recession on the horizon. Let's get into that as well. The mainstream press are acting like a recession is imminent. What's the truth? We'll talk about it.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosherified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the media is hyping a recession as if they want one. I mentioned this several days ago. It's like they're pushing for a recession. They want to lay the trouble at the feet of Donald. So they want to talk about tariffs and Donald. Everything Donald's doing is crazy town. But Donald Trump's economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, says there's no recession on the horizon, Kurt. Who do you believe? What do you think?
Well, it's kind of like that story we did on the fact check of the fire marshal. At least in my opinion, I look at the reports about the people with jobs, the economy. That I see at least, if somebody wants to work, they can work, and they've got many times some options of places to work, not just one. And so that you don't have more and more people on the food stamps and more people on these government programs, you got less and less on them. And so that just shows me that this whole idea of them hyping a recession or pushing a recession is it's just not right. But they're trying to do that, especially, Sam, so that they can make the president look bad. Because remember the old phrase, it's the economy, stupid, from Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
That would make it tougher for his reelection.
And I got a little bit of news, though, for Larry Kudlow and Donald Trump. I agree that, you know what, we may not have a recession. It all depends on how you define a recession. And they have these technical terms of it's two quarters of a downturn, da-da-da-da-da-da, okay? But it all depends on how you define recession, right? Sometimes when you clean a room, Kurt, it's got to get messier before it gets cleaned. And that's reality. And I think economically there's a little bit of that right now going on. When we're changing things big time, that's what happens. The mainstream press trying to make a mountain out of a molehill for this. However, when you put the mainstream press in bed with the Federal Reserve, Kurt, I got news for Larry and Donald. They can turn it into a recession if they want to, buddy. Okay, when you get the media and you get the Federal Reserve involved, they can create a recession. And the headline, media hyping recession as if they want one. I think they might turn this around on Donald Trump and hand him a pig and a poke when it comes to the election cycle 2020, intentionally forcing a downturn in the economy. In fact, Bill Mayer doubles down on this point, Kurt, even.
Well, that's exactly right. In the WorldNet Daily piece, he says, sorry if that hurts people. And, Bill Mayer, saying that if we have a recession, it's worth it if it means getting rid of Trump, you know, and that's.
Imagine saying this, recession worth it if we get rid of Trump? Well, Kurt, would you ever want to bring on a recession, my friend?
That's exactly what they want, though, Sam.
Yes, it is, and that's what I'm saying. I would never want that. I don't even want that on my political enemies, Kurt. I don't want a recession. All that means is going to be harder for people to make a living and be stable and generate wealth and plan for retirement. And I would never want that on anybody, even my political opponents, Kurt. I don't want, hard financial hardships on others. Because, see, I don't believe this lie that we have just a finite pie. And if I do well, somebody else has to suffer. I don't believe that idea. I believe we can grow the pie economically, Kurt, with proper principles. If we support an honest-based currency, gold and silver, and we support a free market enterprise-type system where the government has a very minimal but important job to create a level playing field and create stability, create honor in the system, I don't want recession to happen to anybody. Bill Mayer, Mars, a nutcase, Kurt. An absolute nut. Recession's worth it if we can get rid of Trump. The question is, how far will these extremists go to get rid of Donald? I mean, they're already resorting to violence and such, right, Kurt? Now they want to resort to a recession? How far will these nutcases go?
Well, it's the old phrase of the end justifies the means, Sam.
Not in my case. My mind says I want everyone to do well. And, you know, we can politically agree to disagree agreeably, but I don't want to harm to go to any of these people. And I think some of them are nutcases, and I have the right to speak out and say that, but I don't want any harm to come to them. I don't want any violence or economic hardship or anything else. I want to make America great. Mm-hmm. I want to help other nations become great, too, by following our example. I want to be a light on a hill. Anyway, wow. I guess Pinkerton's in the news, Kurt. Who's Pinkerton?
This is an author.
I've heard of Pink.
Breitbart. Yeah, there used to be the Pinkerton, you know, crowd was like, investigators or like the FBI, sort of like that. But in this case, it's an author for Breitbart. It says, why buying Greenland is one of Donald Trump's best ideas. Now, I hadn't heard much about this, Sam, and I just found this kind of discussion interesting. You know, it is something that I just didn't understand much. What do you understand about it?
Well, it reminds me of the Louisiana Purchase, Kurt. You mentioned that before we started this conversation and highlighting of this story, and I concur. I don't think there's anything wrong with America wanting to expand morally. In other words, not conquest or war or whatever, and not by force, but by opportunity. I support that effort, and I think Donald's right on this. But what I will say is this, you know, he's after a lot of the minerals and resources that Greenland has to offer, and I support that too. But as you wisely point out, Kurt, I think that America, we already have plenty of these, quote, assets that could be used if we just get the environmental people out of the way. Now, when I say that, though, there's a balance, Kurt, and I think you've got two sides of a coin. The people who don't care about the environment and they're for business seem to have the naked capitalist idea that all that matters is the bottom line financial money. Then you got the other side of the people that are too environmentally friendly or whatever you want to say, to where they just try to control everybody over the environment. I submit to you there's a common sense middle ground that would be important. And I think that we could do a lot in America before we ever need to buy Greenland. However, a polite expansion of America is a good thing as long as it's not done by conquest or force. But I think we also need to decide what we're going to do with the Indian reservations. They're like quasi countries, but not really. So they're countries on the dole that don't have complete sovereignty or autonomy. I think we need to deal with that. I think we need to deal with the Puerto Rico discussion, the Guam discussion, the whatever islands. We got several different, I don't know what they are, territories. So we need to deal with a lot of these, I don't know what you call them, half-stated situations. Like, what's a territory? If you say Puerto Rico's a territory, they have congressmen, but not voting congressmen. Well, what's that, Kurt? And so I think we need to deal with a lot of the issues that we face regarding this before we expand. But I think appropriate, peaceful expansion by free choice and agency is a good idea. Like, I don't think we ought to force Puerto Rico into anything. Let those people vote and figure out where they want to stand. If they want to be a country, let them. If they want to be a state, let them. You would say, well, Sam, that'll just fleece America. It's very poor. I understand. But again, you know what? I believe in self-determination, and I believe in appropriate republic ideas where we vote and we elect people who then represent us, and you know, there's a democratic republic. I would like to see us set an example, but I see no problem if we peacefully expand and consider a purchase of, say, Greenland, Kurt. But I think we have a lot of things to discuss and decide along our way. Any thoughts?
Well, in the Breitbart piece about it, this Mr. Pinkerton, who's an author there, Joel Pinkerton, you know, he at least when I first saw it, I was like, well, what about America? Why don't we just use it? And he gets to that in his article way down deep. He says, you know, he talks about the cool things of Greenland, you know, energy and different things like that. And then he says, by this reckoning, Greenland could be just the beginning of a whole new worldwide economic boom. If we can develop that icy island, then there's the rest of the Arctic and also the Antarctic. And come to think of it, he says, closer to home, there's all the unutilized land in the U.S. The federal government owns 28% of all our territory. We need never touch the Grand Canyon or other precious parks. Instead, we can start with the 61% of Alaska that the feds are sitting on. You know, and I just got to agree with them. You talk about 80% of Nevada, 60-plus percent of Utah, and it just goes on and on and on. Right, Sam?
Yes. And I think the details really... are important that Pinkerton brings out. But I would say this, again, we need to get some of our own internal discussions solved. I don't like these countries in, or islands or whatever you want to call them in kind of no man's land. I don't like how we got the Indian reservations, for example, right now. They're on the dole. They're held down. They're countries, but not really. I think we got a lot to solve. But I do believe buying Greenland's a good idea if it can be done mutually cooperatively. And not by force. I think it's a great idea. So time will tell where that goes. We'll keep an eye on that ball. Final story before the end of the hour. It's a good news piece, Kurt. Planned Parenthood braces for serious financial jolt. What am I talking about? New rule depriving abortionists of funding hit Monday. Kurt, did you see that?
Yeah, and, you know, an update on this story basically says that they're pulling out and just going to, you know, not participate in the government deal, which, you know, I find that welcome news. You know, get the government out of funding the killing of babies. You know, it just doesn't make, I mean, it's against God's law, ladies and gentlemen. The top 10 are big, top 10 commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill, and we can't be continuing to kill babies and think we're going to be safe on it. And then when you look at you know, the left, I guess you call them the left, I'm the liberals, I'm not sure, you know, that want to promote the whole abortion thing, and then they get all worried when there's some kind of a mass shooting. It just doesn't make any sense to me. They ought to be celebrating the mass shooting for how much they want to get rid of life, right? See?
There's certainly a confusion regarding that, ladies and gentlemen. All right, the game had to be called, Kurt. China,
well,
trade,
yeah.
Action.
Well, yeah, and this is basically one of these big shots in the media that's actually agreeing with President Trump. New York Times' Thomas Friedman, he praises Trump for taking China trade action, you know, but it's been a long time since they, I mean, they just said he was crazy forever, right?
Yes, and now that somebody finally sees the truth and is praising, it'll get no coverage primarily.
I don't think so.
All right, well, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it was educational and hard-hitting. Tomorrow, our guest, James Edwards, the political cesspool, he'll be with us all 3 hours. So Sam, Kurt, and James will break down the news. How do you dig that? Got a surprise guest coming up on Thursday, too. A liberal guest. What do you think of that? A well-known liberal guest. But a common-sense person, nevertheless. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. Donate today. Get involved. On-demand radio, live and on-demand free. And if you have the heart to help, please donate at LibertyRoundtable.com. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.